This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Belgium is at a crossroads. There have been 6 raids around Brussels today in search of suspected terrorists and ISIS operatives. French prosecutors have confirmed that the Belgian citizen Abdelhamid Abaoud, the architect of the Paris attacks, was killed in that 7-hour police raid at an apartment in the Paris suburb of Saint-Denis earlier this week. What is the Belgian connection here? In the 2 great wars of the 20th century, the Germans' initial act of war with France began with an invasion of Belgium. Belgium overrun by foreign fighters twice in the 20th century. ISIS seems to have refashioned an episode of history by using Belgium as a staging point for attacking France and triggering a wider religious world war. Independent watchdog groups believe hundreds of radicalized Muslims and converts from Belgium have gone to fight with ISIS in Syria and Iraq. The Belgian community of Molenbeek may have become an impenetrable network of radicalism. Mayor Françoise Schepmans admitted that a sizable number of Molenbeek's 100,000 residents are not fully integrated into the country.
Most of the people, even if they lived here, some of them didn't feel like home. It was a problem.
That's the mayor of Molenbeek addressing reporters on Wednesday. Each time there is a link with Molenbeek, Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel said, this is a gigantic problem. Interior Minister Jean Jambon added, we don't have control of the situation in Molenbeek at present. Ambassador Bénédicte Frankenet is the permanent representative of Belgium to the United Nations, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Ambassador.
Hello.
Would you say Belgium has something to answer for in the events from Friday, some issue of assimilation, of culture, of security, anything?
Well, I think we cannot deny that obviously there is an issue and there is a problem. But I think it's also very clear that we have started reacting to these problems already some time ago. The question of integration needs to be addressed. Also, it's very much linked to the perception by second, third generation young people of immigrant origin, but for instance, whose parents were quite well assimilated, about how they perceive that they are not part of the society in which they live. So, yes, the question of integration is an issue, but also the question of how these frustrated young people who maybe did not have a job, who maybe already were part of small criminal gangs, how did they become radicalized? And that's an issue that we have been addressing already since 2005 with the National Plan Against Radicalization. And it has been compounded, of course, by the Syrian conflict itself, which has acted as an attraction to some of these young people by way of active cells in Belgium that were actually recruiting young people on the internet or via radical preachers and have convinced them that this is a fight worth fighting for.
If you know that hundreds of people have gone to ISIS to fight, what are the repercussions of that? Is it simply, you know, see you later, or is there a way of monitoring them in Syria? Are there special protocols in place if they should ever show up again?
No, definitely the idea is both to stop them from going, and we have put a lot of efforts into that part of the issue. It still needs to be completed. It entails more than working alone in Belgium. We need to work together with our European partners. As you know, Europe has external borders. It has a lot of airports. So preventing people from leaving Belgium is one of the issues. The second one is monitoring people who come back. And that has also been done. So we have a very good idea so far, probably still incomplete, about which people left, which people tried to leave and were prevented from leaving, and then which people came back. And some of them have faced, you know, trials and incriminations.
This Mr. Abaoud apparently had a Belgian passport, went to Syria, returned to Belgium. I mean, is that just perceived as there's so many people doing that it would be impossible to find all of them who might have extraordinarily nefarious intents? Or, I mean, wouldn't he be someone who might be on a shorter leash than was the case here?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think we still have many questions first about what happened. We don't know all the facts. We don't know exactly how he came back. He was very much on the radar. And it shows that it is a permanent job to keep improving the tracking, the monitoring, the way we deal with people when they come back. And it's a constant effort. What I can say for sure is that definitely the numbers of people who are trying to leave is now down on a monthly basis, but there are still people leaving Belgium. And of course, the other question, so we will have to work on two tracks. One is, of course, keeping upping all our ways to prevent this type of attacks. And that's a very urgent task that will need to be done also in cooperation with the intelligence services and other specialized instances in the neighboring countries of Belgium. But also what we really need to do in terms of prevention is not only to prevent people from leaving, but to understanding what happens to these young people. Where do they come from? What's happening in their minds?
Well, let's talk about that. Do you have a profile of a radical in Belgium?
I think there are two. I think we mentioned already the possible disenfranchised profile, the people, although they were born in Belgium, who feel that they are not part of society for different reasons, whether it's their own entourage, whether it's because they did not maybe succeed in their studies and didn't find a job at the end of their studies. We cannot deny that, as in many societies, there are some rampant form of discriminations, whether they are conscious or unconscious. But I think what we are also very convinced of is that in Belgium, some very nefarious groups target these young people. We had a major trial implying more than 40 people of a group called Sharia for Belgium, who was actively recruiting young people.
And Sharia for Belgium, yes, the number for Belgium, exactly. And it's an online, very active.
Yes. Yeah. So that part of the step going from your daily frustration to becoming an active, violent, radical, or extremist fighting a terrorist fight, that is very present in our analysis.
Can you shut down Sharia for Belgium?
Yes, of course. And these people have gone to court and they have been condemned to very heavy jail sentences. But the next thing is to figure out what the attraction can be for these young people and to organize a counter-narrative and fighting them on the role of internet and recruitment via the internet cannot be denied either.
I spoke at the very beginning of our conversation that Belgium was overrun by armies in the First World War and the Second World War in the 20th century. Is there a feeling that Belgium in the 21st century is being overrun by this sense of radicalism and that it is a difficult, if not impossible, problem to manage?
Well, that it is difficult, I think everybody agrees. Difficult to manage because it's new, because it entails so many levels of issues. For instance, as I was mentioning, the international situation itself has created a new, more violent type of terrorist. Before the war in Syria, we had people already leaving for Iraq, but on a much smaller scale. And so maybe people who had become radicalized didn't find an expression to their radicalism into active terrorism for the Islamic State. So I think we cannot ignore the Syria situation. And we also, diplomatically and politically, we really think that we need to put an end to this conflict itself via diplomatic means as well. So we are part of the coalition also fighting Daesh for the moment in Iraq. And all this is part of the equation. So that it is difficult is for sure. What happened in Paris and the attack against the Jewish Museum in Brussels last year. All these things have taken people, I think the general population, definitely by surprise and by thinking this is too much. But on the other end, I don't think there is a sense of being overwhelmed. I think people are very conscious about the fact that this is a phenomenon that is tackled by the authorities. There is a strong push from the government to go further. And I think you followed the speech of the Prime Minister in Parliament explaining what extra measures we are going to take. And we are also very conscious that in this fight, we really need to work according to our own values, which is respect for human rights, avoiding some kind of amalgamation between the immigrant population in Belgium, of which 90% is legal.
Ambassador Bénédicte Frankenhaeght is permanent representative of Belgium to the United Nations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.